You're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 12, Text Number 27, Creation of Kumaras and the Others. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chayaya katamo jagne devahutya pati prabhu manaso deyathaschedam yagi vishwakrito jagat. Chayaya, by the shadow, Karadama, Kadamuni, Yajne, became manifested, Devahutya, of Devahuti, Pati, husband, Prabhu, the master, Manasaha, from the mind, Dehatha, from the body, Cha, also, Idam, this, Jagne, developed, Vishwa, the universe, Krita, of the creator, Jagat, cosmic manifestation. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Om Vishnu Paraparamahansa Paribhajakacharya Hasto Tarashata Shishiman by Charanarvinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sage Kadam, husband of the great Devahuti, was manifested from the shadow of Brahma. Thus, all became manifested from either the body or the mind of Brahma. Please repeat. Sage Kadama, husband of the great Devahuti, was manifested from the shadow of Brahma. And thus all became manifested from either the body or the mind of Brahma. Purport. Although one of the three modes of material nature is always prominent, they are never represented unalloyed by one another. Even in the most prominent existence of the two lower qualities, the modes of passion and ignorance, there is sometimes a tinge of the mode of goodness. Therefore, all the sons generated from the body or mind of Brahma were in the mode of passion and ignorance. But some of them, like Kadam, were born in the mode of goodness. Narad was born in the transcendental state of Brahma. Om Agyan Smiranda Sujananjanan Shavakaya Takshura Minatandina Tashmayashma Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gautha Shivashari Gaur Bhaktan Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The sage Kadam, the husband of the great Devahuti, was manifested from the shadow of Brahma. Thus all became manifested from either the body or the mind of Brahma. So here we're talking of a creation from Brahma. And here, Kadama Muni is born from the shadow of Brahma. Kadama Muni was the husband of Devahuti. Devahuti is the mother of Kapila Dev, great incarnation Kapila. In the beginning of this chapter, describing the Brahma first created those five inertias, like false identification, fear of death, illusion, etc. They were also born from the shadow. And Kadama is also born from the shadow, but here Kadama is said to be in the mode of goodness, whereas the others were ignorant qualities that Brahma first manifested, but from the same portion, the shadow of his own body. So everything is coming from the body or mind of Brahma. This whole creation is coming from the the body or the mind of Brahma. And similarly, on a smaller scale, our creation, our world that we create around us, my world, it's also simply a creation from the mind and the body. Because all these qualities and everything we identify with are actually the qualities of material nature. And we have created those as being our qualities in this material world. It's like in the Bhagavad Gita 13th chapter, Krishna is saying that how the living entities in material nature follow the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of material nature. This is due to the association with material nature, and thus the living entity he meets with good and evil. So this is the situation in the material world. The jiva is associating with material nature, and because he's identifying with it, then he's meeting with good and evil, and he continues in the repetition of birth and death. It's simply by misidentification that the jiva thinks that his actions and enjoyment are his own very own nature, although they are the nature of things related to him, like the body and mind, and all this and the senses. What I like and the activities I perform to get my happiness, that I consider me, it's my kind of nature. And generally we judge anyone else like that, but how a person speaks and acts, and he has this, his nature. So I'm considering all these to be my nature, what I do and what I say in pursuit of happiness. You know, this is me, this is my nature. But actually, it's the nature of the body and the senses. But because I'm identifying with the body and senses as my nature, then I'm enjoying or suffering by identifying also as my own the illusion, lamentation, happiness and distress that are coming. Because I'm identifying with this material nature, this combination which is produced from the three modes of material nature, then I'm identifying with the different products that it produces, the interactions of this material nature. And I identify myself also with the product. Therefore, that is, I'm enjoying and suffering due to this false identification, which are all simply creations of the mind. The cause of this illusion is contact of the soul with the body. The body is made of the gunas. Lord Brahma is creating all kinds of bodies here according to different gunas, demoniac species, and those in the mode of passion, demons, and the different demigods and the sages in the mode of goodness. And everybody is identifying with these different qualities of Brahma's creation, and thinking, you know, this is me. So this contact is simply, because the soul doesn't actually touch the material energy, but the contact is simply fabricated through ignorance, through avidya, we fabricated a connection with this body and the identification. But actually it doesn't exist in reality. The living entity never touches material nature. It's just a fabrication due to ignorance that we start to identify with everything. And as a result, we simply face in this repetition of birth and death. And so Krishna is saying that the living entity, he follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of material nature. Of course he has to suffer also in the modes of material nature because of his strong identification. But frankly, that's all that's happening in this material world. All these different creations that are going on, everyone is just identifying with the modes of material nature, because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita also, you know, from Brahma down to the smallest insect, nobody is free from the influence of this material nature. So because we associate with it, we adopt it as mind. And because it produces pleasure and pain and illusion, then therefore it's my pleasure, it's my pain, it's my illusion. In this way the whole world is completely bound up. And Krishna is saying also that the mode of goodness, from mode of goodness, is the best quality. That you get knowledge, you get happiness, these are very good qualities, happiness and knowledge. But Krishna says, but also the living entity becomes conditioned by even the mode of goodness. It becomes even bound up by the mode of goodness. Prabhupada gives the example of these scientists, and they think they have more knowledge than anyone else and they're a bit better situated, and obviously they get more happiness, but they become conditioned by this sense of being superior to others, because they're accepting they're better situated, they have more knowledge and they're more happy than us. So therefore they tend to put themselves above others, and therefore they become conditioned by the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness is It gives you that sense of well-being, of knowledge and happiness. But the sinful aspect of it is that we identify with it. I am happy, or I am knowledgeable. So this is also an illusion. We're identifying with something we're not. I'm happy, I'm knowledgeable. And when we identify with something, then attachment comes, because we're naturally we become attached to it. Well, the child identifies, this is my mother, and because I'm completely dependent, so I'm attached because I'm dependent on. And the mother thinks, it's always my child. Now the mother is also dependent on the child, because she's the protector, she's the maintainer, she's the sustainer of the child. She's his best friend. So I'm the maintainer, I'm the friend, I'm the well-wisher, these are all false identifications. And so she also becomes attached. She has all these, I'm the maintainer of the child, protector of the child. So therefore, she becomes attached to the child, otherwise she has no identity as being the protector and the maintainer of the child. So the child is attached to the mother as a maintainer, and the maintainer is attached to the dependent. Otherwise he doesn't have a position of being a maintainer. So he becomes the maintainer, but he's identifying the maintainer, and therefore he becomes attached to that identity. So these are all false identities. We're identifying with the different qualities and different gunas in life. And therefore there's no solution to this problem of birth and death, even by being in the mode of goodness. And when we become attached, then pride develops. And it's the next step. It's mine. Mama Meti. It's I and mine. So I've got this. Now I become attached to it. It's mine. And then I become very proud of it. Because it's mine. Because everything about me is good. And the things I'm attached to are also good. They're all mine. So pride is developing from attachment. So both attachment and pride are actually products of prajnana. So although we're in the mode of goodness, we're developing these qualities, but even with the mode of goodness, we become conditioned by it. It's not actually the happiness and knowledge. It's the attachment to happiness and knowledge, not happiness and knowledge itself. This is what is binding the living entity. Knowledge and happiness are a good thing, so how can they be binding? No, they're not binding, but when you're attached to them, then they bind. This is difficult. When we become attached, then we become bound by it. This is Krishna says that. The fourth chapter. There's no work that affects me, Krishna says. I'm not bound, there's no work that affects me. Chaturvanam mayasthusham guna kama vigash. I have created in society these divisions according to different qualities and work, and everybody is working for that. But I am actually aloof. Although I am the creator, I am the non-creator. Although I am the doer, I am the non-doer. I am aloof from all this. There's no work that affects me. I'm not affected by the work because I'm not attached to the results of work. I don't want the fruits of my action. I'm not aspiring for any fruits of my action. So therefore Krishna says, although I'm also in the material world, I'm also dealing with it, material world, simultaneously I'm not, I'm free, I'm aloof from it. Because he's not aspiring for the fruits of action. So this is the secret Krishna has given us. How to become free from bondage. Happiness and knowledge are a good thing, but when we become attached to them, then it's not a good thing. Knowledge is good, but when you become attached to it, it becomes agyan. What is gyan is a good thing, but when we become attached to it, then it becomes agyan, it becomes ignorance. Reverses. So if we can live in this world without being attached to all these qualities and identifications, then you can become free. The Krishna is saying, I don't aspire for the fruits of my work. I have nothing to gain, therefore I have no attachment. Everything is Krishna's anyway. So he has no attachment. But we see, Arjuna may say, well, you're a Kshatriya Krishna. You were born of Vasudeva, he was a Kshatriya. And you're on the battlefield, it certainly looks like you're acting like a Kshatriya, that's a guna and karma, so you look like you're acting according to the qualities and the modes of material nature. And you're saying, you know, I don't aspire for the fruits of my action, but, you know, it seems like you instigated this war, and it seems like you really want to win the war. And you have so many, you want Yudhisthira to be the king. It looks like you've got so many desires, you have so many, you see fruit, if actually you're working with it, you want some result of that. You're expecting these things, that you'll win the war and Yudhisthira will be the king and all things like that. But how are you saying that, you know, you don't aspire for the fruits of action? And Krishna says, yeah, he says, I'm aloof from all these things. He said, because I'm not working for myself. Even though it appears I'm working for the Pandavas and Yudhisthira in this battlefield and everything. But you know, I stated before, you know, whenever there is a decline in religious principles, that time I come myself to establish the proper principles and take away. So I'm coming not for myself, I come for others. That's the only reason I come. So even though it appears I'm favoring Yudhisthira, no, I'm favoring everyone. That is the purpose of my coming here, because I'm concerned for others. I want to establish the righteousness and get rid of the irreligious side of it. So that is my business. It's not that I'm particularly favoring anyone. I'm acting simply for the sake of others. And Arjuna, he said, if you know this secret about me, then you can become free like me also. If you act like I'm acting, you'll become as free as me. If you act without attachment and you act for others instead of yourself, he said, then you can become as free as me. It's simple. Krishna said, it's simple for me. Example is given, just like a spider, he makes a very nice web. And he's created himself. Prabhupada said the spider is the most perfect of creation. Because he can create his own, from himself, without any extra help, he can create his own house. And he can withdraw his house also, pecking himself. Like Krishna's breathing in and out. The spider is very perfect for us. Anyway, he creates this web that's really sticky. And all the little bugs and everything that come along, they get stuck on it. But Krishna is like that. He's like a spider. He's created a web. And all the living entities, everyone's coming, they're getting stuck and bound in this spider's web. But he's telling Arjuna, well, you can become free. So how you can, because everyone is stuck on the spider web, so how, you may say, how can I become free from that? But no, when the spider had little babies, they're only small, but they come, they're running all over the web. They don't get stuck. Like father, like son. They're completely free, all just like the father spider. So here, we become like father, we become the obedient servants of the father, we follow the father's instructions. And then we become as free as the father, become as free as Krishna. So this is what Krishna is teaching us, these secrets in Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, here, everybody is completely bound up. Kadama Muni, he's identifying a big progenitor. Very important service he has. And these personalities, they're devotees of the Lord. But they still have some desire to be something great. They know Krishna's the greatest. But also I want to be something great. I'd be a great progenitor for Krishna. For Krishna. So then they're born in that position. They're created from Brahma. Why? Because of their previous condition in life. They had that desire. So now they come and they get this post of Prajapati Kadama because of his previous desires, just being carried over from previous, in this case a previous universe, because Brahma's creating. So like that, from birth to birth, the living entities, due to his association with the material nature. Prabhupada said that the living entity, when he's leaving his body, According to the karmas he's performed in this life, this is predestined his next body. Just as this body we have now is a result of our last birth's activities. This is the predestined result of our previous activities in our last birth. And that birth was a result of the previous activities. So Prabhupada said, when the living entity is leaving the body, it's time to leave, then Krishna informs the material energy that this soul is going to come in. He has this particular types of desires and everything, so he needs this particular type of body, which will be the best instrument, vehicle for fulfilling his desires. And he instructs material nature to prepare that womb for this particular living entity, wherever it may be. And then when the time is right and that womb is prepared, that situation, then Krishna takes the soul, along with the soul, he goes to that next situation. And then he's got, it's already perfect to fulfill, it's tailor-made to fit his desires, literally by Krishna's arrangement. Exactly to fulfill his desires, what he needs. It's already been arranged by Krishna, so he comes with that. So this is what we ask for. In our previous life, we asked for this particular situation. Our mentality was this particular situation. We got this body was the best instrument for executing our previous desires. And we think we're doing pretty good, and it goes on in every life. So we don't even bother to become detached. We think, you know, I'm doing okay. Whatever I do is pretty good. And like this, we're just going wandering around, simply identifying with the modes of material nature. And this creation is simply a creation of the mind. It's coming in the mind, and we've created our own identity as a product of material nature. Of course, we get the Narad Muni. Prabhupada said he is aloof. He is born from the transcendence of Brahma. He's contemplating. He is aloof from it. And also the four Kumaras, they were representing this freedom from material nature, detachment. In the beginning, they weren't bhaktas at that time, according to the pastime. So they represent mukti. They kept themselves aloof from everything. But still that's a false identification. I'm a mukta. The real identification is I am Nitya Krishna Das. So even the muktas there have a false identity. I'm a mukta, I'm a mukta. And all those other sages that he's creating, Pulasha, come from his ears, Angira from his mouth, Aichi from his eyes, Marichi, from the mind, Pulaha, from the navel of Brahma. All these are great sages. Bhrigu, Vasishta. These are great sages, great universal sages. Who are respected by their teachings. You have, in India, you have the Gotra of your family. It means a sage you are following, Achyuta Gotra, we are directly from Achyuta Krishna. He's our father, Ham Bijapati. So we are identifying with Krishna. So therefore our Gotra is Achyuta, the devotee, initiated devotee. We're identifying with Achyuta. But generally, any Indian person you will ask, you know, what is your Gotra? He will say, Kashyapa. Maitri, Maitreya, Gautam. You have a family line. So that family generally follows that knowledge that sage is given. That is the system. What your particular family you're born in, then generally you will follow that system of knowledge that sage is teaching to you. So these are great sages. We read their name all the time in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Whenever there's a big festival and Krishna is there and all these great sages, it mentions all their names, Shravana, and all these great personalities come and descend down and take part in the Jagannath. And they're all situated really in the mode of goodness. Even transcendentals, many of them are also transcendental. But their job is to set the codes of Dharma for mankind. So that's why they have these lineages, particular line of knowledge. And so they're in charge of a particular line. And they're doing such great work, and they're thinking we're really helping people. We're giving knowledge, absolute knowledge, knowledge of practically it's how to live in this material world. All these sages, they're really intent on establishing the codes of Dharma. This is their main function. That I'm given a particular type of knowledge that's come down. I'm maintaining Dharma in in that particular family generation of who are following me. I'm, by following my instructions, I'm maintaining Dharma. So this is my instructions, it maintains Dharma, and therefore the whole world becomes peaceful. So all these great sages, this is their business. They're intent on establishing all these different codes of Dharma. And because they're identifying with that, they also become attached. And what are they doing? Although you can say it's fantastic work they're doing, because who wouldn't like to see the world following pure Dharma? The devotees would love it. Devotees don't get any botheration when people are following Grand Ashram perfectly. It's only when they don't follow, then the devotees give the devotees a hard time. But if Dharma is followed perfectly, you know, that's great. Devotees can go uninterrupted about their service and they don't get any interference. And they can preach also to the those who are attached to Dharma and bring them to the platform of pure devotional service. So all these great sages, they're really attached to this position, and really, I'm really a universal welfare worker. I'm universally a friend of everyone, and, you know, by establishing all these codes of Dharma. But it's more or less that all those codes of Dharma are just telling you how to stay in the material world better situated. That's all. You'll get less problem if you follow the Dharmic codes. Practically that's all they're saying. Stay in the world according to these laws and this knowledge, apply these principles, follow the codes of Dharma, and you'll be happy in the material world. So this is their attachment also. They think it's a great thing. But again, that's a false identification. And practically all they're doing is keeping the living entity bound up in Dharma. The living entity identifies, I'm a Dharma guy, I'm really attached to Dharma. You know, that's my identity. Look, I'm so pious, I'm so religious, I never tell a lie. That's another false identification. Although it's in the mode of goodness, it's better than the lower modes, identifying as a lower mode. But still, they're both sinful. They're all sinful because they're keeping the living entity bound up in the material world. So like that, this world is so complicated, and Brahma is also in this position because he thinks I'm going to be a big creator. So Krishna's given him that position. Yeah, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was given a self-identity. I'm not a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Sannyas, Grihastha, Vanaprastha. No. What are you? Okay. I identify myself only as servant of the servant of the servant of the master of the gopis, Gopinath. So he is given a self-identity. That we don't lose or adopt any other identity. But I'm this, I'm that, I'm this. Due to attachment, to particular modes of nature. So the only thing this creates, being attached to these different modes, is, as Krishna says, you continue in the repetition of birth and death. So therefore, along with the Vedas, which is a manual for the universe, how to operate the universe, uses manual. It gives all the different types of activities you should perform, which will lead to piety, which will lead to goodness, and also it gives knowledge of how to get out of this material world also, and take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. So there's two purposes of creation. One is for the living entities to stay here and enjoy it, and the other purpose is that you can use it and get out of this repetition of birth and death. Of course, the main function or the main usage of it is to stay here. That's why it's created. Nobody comes to the material world to get out of it. It was created by Krishna because people wanted to come here and act in this material world. So they're getting that experience of acting as being the enjoyers. But along with that, they're also experiencing the suffering. And this is due to the attachment, the false identification, the ahankara, it's fabricated that connection, false connection of the living entity to identify with the matter, and creates attachments, and the living entity is bound. Therefore he's wandering, following his nature throughout the various pieces of life. All glories to Lord Brahma and his creation. Hare Krishna. Amen. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, who just gets us out of the creation. Anyway, very sticky. So we should be good little spiders and run freely without attachment. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Gaur Premanandi. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Ramina. Okay. Yeah, Mataji's saying we should become free, but also we get a system. We also get rules and regulations in the system. So how? Also, we shouldn't be attached to that. How to become free? Yeah, it says one should adopt the method of self-realization, but he should learn to give up that method when he's achieved it. He shouldn't still be attached to the method he's adopted. He should learn to give it up. So similarly, we have a method, sadhana bhakti. And also, we don't become too attached to the sadhana itself, bhakti. But the idea is becoming attached to Krishna. And sadhana is given up when Rag spontaneous devotion is there. So you get sadhana bhakti and you get raganuga bhakti. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to teach raganuga bhakti. This is what he's giving. But to get that, because we're unqualified, we've also got the process of sadhana. So we're using sadhana, but we shouldn't be simply attached to the rules and regulations of sadhana if it's going to interfere with the pure devotional service, raganuga bhakti. So we've adopted a method of self-realization, sadhana bhakti, because we've forgotten our pure, spontaneous attraction for Krishna. But also we should have to learn to give up that sadhana bhakti when we attain to raganuga bhakti as it develops. So this system of sadhana bhakti, following rules and regulations, which is not what Lord Chaitanya came to exhibit or give freely. He's giving pure spontaneous devotional service. But this system of sadhana, by sadhana you can't serve Krishna. The conception of worship of Radha and Krishna is absent in Vrindavan, because it indicates awe and reverence and rule and regulation. But Radha Krishna in Vrindavan is nothing like that. Everything is done in loving friendship. So their conception of worship is not there. Yet, this process of sadhana, following all these rules, who is it given by? It's speaking of Rupa Goswami. He is our leader. We are Rupa Nugas, we're all following. He's a very intimate a servant of Lolita and Vishaka. He's a Rupa Manjari. He is coming, the others are also coming. They're intimate associates. Those who are performing pure spontaneous love, they're coming and they're giving the process of sadhana, the rules and regulations. Because they know that's what we need. Because the idea is to revive our spontaneous love for Krishna, but because we are so covered, they are coming and they are seeing the situation in Kali Yuga. So they are giving a system how we can get out of this attachment and revive our, pure spontaneous love for Krishna. So they are given a very heavy system of all rules and regulations. It's given by those eternally liberated souls. But it's the best thing to cultivate Raja Prem, what they are giving. For so many other sadhus are coming and giving process of devotion. Ramanuja Acharya, Krishna Swami, great acharyas, they're giving also process of devotion. So that takes to Vaikuntha. But the Rupa Goswami and his followers, they're giving you a process that is most conducive to take you back to Raja, to give you Raja Prem. So it's given by all those great devotees. So then we follow the speed in which we achieve our goal is simply the sincerity in which we follow those rules and regulations. Although Krishna says, when you pass out of this dense darkness, forest of illusion, you'll become indifferent to everything that's been seen and heard, all the rules and regulations of the Vedas, etc. You become indifferent from that. When you're free from them, free from the attachment to the material, the modes of material nature. When you're bound in the material world, you're obliged to follow. You're obliged to follow rules and regulations because we're attached. Okay, so therefore you have to fit. But otherwise, Krishna says you've become free from all this. All that's been heard and all that's been said. What's the point? Doesn't make. On the point. What? Become free from all the rules and regulations. So you'll become free, indifferent from all the rules and regulations, what's been heard, and what the Vedas are saying, all those rules and regulations. You become indifferent to them. So then you can give them up. So then that sadhana can be given up for the adoption of, because already you transcended that rules and regulations. It's no longer necessary for you. But until you've transcended, then it's absolutely necessary. Therefore you get Panchvachiki Vidhi and Bhagavad Vidhi. Like a train is running on two tracks. So we have one track, Panchvachiki Vidhi, which means all the rules and regulations, like in deity worship, etc. That's all Panchvachiki Vidhi. And you have Bhagavad Vidhi, which is kirtan, chanting, preaching, Bhagavatam. So we are following both. They've given us a system where we follow both. We have rules and regulations of sadhana and also Bhagavad Vidhi, which is chanting and hearing Bhagavatam, etc. So we're following both. You see, our system is both. And that's one. That's the speed on which you achieve the goal is depending on the sincerity of how you put all. That's right. How you practice all these things. The speed in which you attain the goal is simply dependent on sincerity, how sincerely you execute these orders. So although you become free from all everything that's been heard and said, you become free from all those, when you pass out of the dense darkness of illusion, you become free from all that's been heard and said, all the rules and regulations, etc. Go back again. Got it. That's right. So, okay, you're free from all the rules and regulations. That means now those rules and regulations are not very important for you anymore, because you've transcended all those rules, and therefore they're not really important anymore to you. They can't really help you so much now. You've got other engagement, better engagement. You've got a relationship established with Krishna. So you don't want to leave that situation to go back on sadhana, etc. Rules and regulations. But the reason that you've attained this, because of your sincerity in following the vidhi, the rules and regulations, was not because of the instructions themselves, the do's and do nots. That doesn't actually give you pure devotional service. But the act of accepting those instructions from the mouth of the acharyas, they've established the system, and the fact that you follow all those rules and regulations is an indication of your surrender to the instructions of Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada and the acharyas. And because of that act of surrender, that will take you across. They will be pleased and give you the blessing, they see us, friend. But you may be saying, well, I don't really need all these rules and regulations. Well, it seemed like the kind of materialistic thing and not really necessary to do all these things. So in other words, it's saying it's not really necessary to surrender to Rupa Goswami. Some things I like, sometimes I don't. I'm half surrender and a half I want. But it's the act of surrender to the rules and regulations, that is what Krishna, that is the attitude that he's in. That is sincerity, is saying, by that sincerity then you receive the blessings of the eternal soul. Then they can take you into the spontaneous platform. Just like Prabhupada gives us four basic no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no. And, you know, many people say, it's just material qualifications. You know, what's it really got to do with spiritual life? Doesn't seem like a spiritual thing. And anyway, I like doing these things, some of these things, so maybe I'll just do three of these. Because it's not really a spiritual thing. I mean, you go to Gujarat. All the Gujaratis, they don't eat meat, they don't eat intoxication, they're not having illicit sex. They're very pious. Now they're changing, the younger generation, but. So you can't, well, they must be all be pure devotee trans. No, it's not in material qualities, you can say, you can argue. So what's it got to really do with spiritual life? It's not really. But the act that you accept those and you do follow those, you put them, that means you're surrendering to the instruction of the acharya, that you're surrendering to Prabhupada. So that is the important point of these do's and do nots. It's not actually the activity itself, the do's and do nots themselves, but the act of surrender to the potency behind them, or the personalities behind, who have established these rules and regulations. They are saying, oh, look, surrendering to the rule. They're okay. You give their blessing. But if you don't surrender, how are you going to expect blessing? So,
it's a proof of surrender.
Yeah, it's a proof of surrender. If you're not doing it, it's proof you're not doing it. And that's what's attracting the attention of the acharyas. They want to give Krishna consciousness more than anything. That's all they want to give. Chaitanya wants to give it freely. They don't want any kind of anything in between that. That's the only thing they ever want to do. But they want to see we're sincere and want to abuse that great gift. So they give these. And that's a proof of your sincerity. That is a proof that you really want this. Prabhupada said it's a proof of your love. If you follow the instructions. Hare Krishna. Hare Prabhupada ki.
Nayanaya.